As I said, over the last few weeks, we've been partnering with a movement called Advent Conspiracy and really just trying to reclaim in our own hearts what this time of year is all about and not to settle for letting it be just about the red and green colors and the pretty decorations and the presents and candies and parties and all those sorts of things. And so in a real way, we've been conspiring together just to let the Christmas story once again speak. And so our goal has been, let this be renewed in us, but also let us enter this. And so I don't want it just to be the story that we tell about when a baby came. I want it to be my story to tell about how he came and changed me and how he can come and he'll change you and save you as well. And so we've been praying for opportunities just to share the story. So when we look back at the beginning, we saw that Christmas really changed the world forever. And we asked the question, can Christmas still change the world, and how did we respond? Yes, all right, we still believe that Christmas can change the world. And we've been talking through a few different phrases that help us understand what that meant. And so one of those phrases was to worship fully. Like for Christmas to change the world, it must change whom first? It's got to start in us. And so the change has got to start there. And so it's not, okay, I remember Luke 2, I remember there were angels and shepherds, and I remember a couple years later some wise men came, and I remember the story, but it's just being caught up in what the story means, why he came, what that's all about. And so we saw in the shepherds, we saw in the wise men, and even the angels, they all worshiped. They all celebrated in different ways the coming of the baby there. And so worship for us can come in many different forms, and we look through that here a little bit. We also talked through a phrase that was called spend less. And the goal of that phrase was not necessarily financial as much as it was about being intentional. And often this time of year, we get kind of lazy and lax with our giving because it's Christmas season, right? And so we'll say, oh, it's Christmas, go ahead. And that $5 turns into $500, and it can quickly get away from us if we're not intentional. And so it was about remembering that how we spend reveals our heart. Last week we talked about giving more presents, and those two kind of seemed to contradict one another initially, but when we looked into it, we saw they were very different. Giving more presents, you remember we spelled that P-R-E-S-E-N-T or C-E rather than T-S, which meant let's take time to relate with one another, to connect with one another, and to connect the gospel story to people, just like Jesus did when he gave his son. That was a relational gift. He didn't give us money. He didn't give us toys. He didn't give us candy. He gave us a relationship, and that's found in his son. And so those were the three phrases that we've talked through thus far. Today we're going to talk through a phrase quickly that's called love all, or we could say a love like Jesus. And we'll spend just a few minutes in Luke chapter 4. And that will be on the wall if you could you can follow along that way here this morning. You ever feel like Christmas was a marketing strategy by business owners? Because it kind of seems like we've bought that. You know, everybody's got to be out and in the hustle and bustle, and you've got to have X amount of things. And the truth of the matter is, Christmas wasn't a marketing strategy by a business. You know, Christmas is not a government program. Just something that we do in this country or countries worldwide that's sponsored by a government. Christmas wasn't a curriculum that was built and defined by educators, right? Christmas is a movement by God towards his creation that he loves. And so last week we talked a little bit about how he loves us in John 3:16. Luke 4 here, we're going to see how Jesus is going to be the fulfillment of the scripture reading that we had earlier this morning. So let's read this and you can follow along as I read today. Basically, you've got Jesus, you've got John the Baptist being born, Luke 1, you've got Jesus being born, Luke 2, you've got Jesus being tempted, being left by his parents at the temple for a few days as a 12-year-old boy. And then when we get in Luke 4 here, we've got Jesus making his way back to his hometown, and he's going to stand in the synagogue, and he's going to read some words that we've read already from Isaiah, but we'll read it today from Luke's account. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16 through 21 says, so he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so Jesus reads this in their hearing, and then in verse 20, then he closes the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so here we see kind of the fulfillment of the love of God. Jesus was sent by God to demonstrate to us what it looks like to be loved by God. And really the most beautiful and glorious way we see that love through his giving us salvation, at least the opportunity to be saved. And so that's caught up in all these phrases here like, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. All these things speak to what can be found in Jesus and the salvation that he offers. And so we can think about his death, and we will here this morning as we remember the blood that was poured out for us as we drink the juice in remembrance. I really want to focus a little bit on the body that was broken. The body that was broken for us, because that speaks to you and I as well today and the role that we are to play while we still live here on this planet. And so God wasn't just interested in your soul. If he was, he would have saved you and took you home. He's interested in the whole person. And that's why we pray for healing. That's why we pray for God to feed hungry. That's why we work to clothe homeless. Because God cares about the whole person and not just the soul person. And so Jesus came absolutely to minister to us spiritually, but also to minister to all the physical needs that we have. Ultimately, he would give his life for all. And so I want you to think back with me for a moment. Let's go back to the moment when Jesus was born. All right, so we're going to backtrack a little bit. We kind of sang through this here this morning. So the second song we sang, does anybody remember? Silent Night. So on this silent night long ago, the angels pronounced our first song. What was that? Joy to the World. All right, so we've got on a silent night long ago, angels came and pronounced joy to the world because what had happened? It was our third song. Because the long-expected Messiah had finally come, right? Come thou long-expected Jesus. That first advent was here. And so when we think back, we can see these things taking place. And then that fourth song was, we can listen to them pronounce his name, Emmanuel, because now God is with us. And so they adored him, just as we've sung through your name here today. But it seems to be a moment that really didn't capture much of the world's attention. I mean, think about it. When royalty is born on this planet today, do you ever hear about it? You can't go anywhere where you don't hear about it. It's on the cover of every magazine at the checkout counter. It's in your news feed on your news, whatever you use on the internet. It's on the news stations. I was just something this week I was reading about this royal child who's coming. And like it's this big worldwide event. Now, there was no media coverage whatsoever when Jesus was born. You just had like Mary and Joseph, obviously, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the shepherds, and it seems like to everybody else it was just an ordinary night. It's just another night in the books. And so let's go to bed. Sun will come up tomorrow. We'll wake up and we'll do it all over again. And so nobody really seemed to care that a king was born. And what that makes me wonder about myself is this. How many days do I live and how many opportunities with people do I just pass by because I don't take notice of the people? Now, this idea of conspiring together is reminding ourselves that Christmas is not just a day on the calendar, it's a life to live. So this call to remembrance is not just about Jesus lived, Jesus died, it's also a call to you and I dying to ourselves and to live this life as Jesus has lived towards us. So to say it simply, we are to love all. Now, Jesus calls us an animal. Do you remember the animal name that he refers to us as? All right, so we're sheep. So you've heard the expression, if it walks like a duck and if it quacks like a duck, then there's a good chance that's a duck, right? Well, if it walks like a sheep and it loves the shepherd, speaks like a sheep, then it's probably what? It's probably a sheep. And so we are identifiable to this world when we live like Jesus lived and when we love as Jesus loved. And so what does sheep look like? Matthew 25, Jesus gives us some ideas here. So just keep in mind, Christmas isn't December 25th. Christmas is really the influence of Christ on how we're to do life here all day, every day. Matthew 25, Jesus says this about his sheep. He said, they will work to feed the hungry. Right? This isn't just good ideas. He says, these are my sheep. This is what they do. They work to feed the hungry. They're going to offer water to those who are thirsty. Did you know every minute there's a child that dies from a water-related disease in this world? One of the real partnerships with Advent Conspiracy that we didn't join in with was working to provide fresh water to people that don't have fresh water around the world. And sometimes we may think that's not super spiritual, but it's caring about people. It's loving all the way that Jesus did. Every minute a child dies from a water-related disease. Jesus also says that you would care for the homeless, his sheep do, that his sheep visit the sick, and that they visit those who are in prison, that they look after those in need with clothes, and they care for the orphan or the widow. So does Christmas sound like it's a day on the calendar? To me, it really sounds like a life that you and I are to be living. Matthew 5, Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. He tells us to bless those who curse us. He tells us to love those who hate us. Does that sound like Christmas? And yet it is. Loving like Jesus. See, to me, those are words that we need in our day and time. Do we have any enemies? You don't have any enemies? You are naive if you believe that. We have enemies who currently hate us, who seek to destroy not only Christianity, but Christians, who would like to see all Bibles confiscated and burned because they think they're rubbish. They think we're fools, infidels. The world would be much better if we weren't here. And they're willing to do whatever is necessary to remove us from the scene. I think you have an enemy. They're all around us here. And so how do we respond? What are we called? We're called sheep. And so we respond like sheep. We love like sheep, and we love all the way that we have been loved by the shepherd. You say, I can't love people that way. And we need to revisit how we've been loved by the shepherd. Now, these people are enemies of ours. Romans 5:8 says, when we were enemies of God, God demonstrated his love towards us by giving his son to die for us. I know there's caution, and I know there's discernment and wisdom. What I've not heard much of here in the past couple months is that we are sheep, and we need to act like sheep. We need to love all like Jesus has loved us. In his death, he paid the price for our sins, and in his life, in that broken body, he taught us how to live and how to love people who are a lot different than us. And so my prayer personally for me, church, and my prayer for us today is that God wouldn't only help us to remember how Jesus lived and how he loved, but he'd allow us to do some kind of self-evaluation here. That his Spirit would examine our hearts and prove whether or not there is that willingness to love and submit in the same way that he loved and submitted to his Father. And I pray God will help us to live love his way. And so this morning we've come together to come around this table. We know the story of Jesus and the birth of a baby in a manger. We know about animals that we see in nativities and wise men who show up later on the scene. But do we really receive the challenge? Will we conspire together to really love people the way that we've been loved? It's easy to worship fully. It's easy to be intentional in how we spend. It's easy to be more relational with people. But sometimes it's hard to love the way that Jesus has loved us. And so here this morning, as we get ready to gather around the table, I want to ask you just to take a few moments in prayer and reflection there and just ask God to search your heart. You know, the Bible has some things to say about our willingness and our ability to participate in communion. This isn't just an event that churches do. You know, it's not something that a couple pastors came up with and said, hey, this is a good way to remember Jesus. This is something that Jesus started himself. And his word speaks very clearly on. Some things he says is that it's better for us not to partake of this if we've got sin in our heart than it is to take so as sin. The Bible says we bring judgment on ourselves because of that. Maybe you've got some unforgiveness in your heart. You've got bitterness. You've got fear. You've got rage. You've got an unwillingness to submit. I'm going to do it this way regardless of how Jesus taught me to love. I want to encourage you to deal with whatever's going on in your heart. It'd be better today not to partake. And I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying to get you not to partake. I'm saying this is a serious matter. It's something we want to enter into reverently, respectfully, just as Jesus has instituted this. So maybe it'd be better not to partake. What would be better is if we deal with our sin, don't you think? And so maybe in our time of reflection, what it looks like for you, it's you step out in the hallway and you get on your phone and you call somebody and you deal with your sin. I've got bitterness in my heart towards you. I've got unforgiveness in my heart towards you. I've been holding a grudge against you. Deal with your sin. Jesus talks about when you want to bring a gift to me and you've got bitterness and hatefulness in your heart, it's better for you just to leave the gift, go deal with your sin, and then come back and I'll receive that as an offering. And so this isn't just for you, it's for me as well. Letting God search our hearts, dealing with our sin, ultimately being able to really enjoy humbly the broken body and the blood of Jesus. So I want to read what the Bible says, then we'll take a few minutes here just to reflect and pray, okay? 1 Corinthians 11 says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty, and they're guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. And for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, they eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's why many among you are weak and sick. That's why many among you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." And so as I search my heart and as you search your heart today, if God reveals something there, that's not to judge us to the point of death. That's to discipline us so that we may enjoy life. And so I invite you in this time, maybe you need to move to a front pew, to an altar. You want to come sit on a step. Maybe for you it is a step out to have a conversation with somebody. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not trying to play God. But I want to honor the word as it says. We want to take this in a worthy manner. And so there will be a little song that plays here quietly. And as this song plays, I invite you where you are to pray, to ask the Lord to search your heart. When the song concludes, I'll close us with prayer and then we'll gather around the table.